to the chase, okay? What are you guys selling?
You're drowning and I throw you a life jacket. Would you grab it? Yes, good. Pick up 200 shares. I won't let you down.
Pay him. Pay that man his money.
Ask them how they'd like to see 30, 40% returns. What are they going to say? No? I don't want to see those returns?
Where's the money, Lebowski?
You're going to make a lot of money, right?
Be aggressive. Learn how to push.
Show him a 3% return, and I'll trust you to watch his kids for the weekend.
I'm a big fan of money.
Move around. Motion creates emotion.
I did not know this.
That's it. I'm done.
Well, welcome back to Stacks and Jacks and a slightly wounded voice chief here, but we'll make it through. SP futures down 43, Dow futures down 418, NASDAQ futures down 48. Lou, what the hell's going on? How are you?
I'm good. Well, the first thing that's going on is I was actually able to call in on time this morning, so sorry about that thing last week.
By the way, we had a little bit of a pull as to where you might be. And the winner was, you were in the $50 million condo that Trump was going to give to Putin.
Oh, that's very good.
Yeah.
That's very good. And not too far off, actually.
I wouldn't think that. Why do you think it was a winner? Duh. <Yeah. laughs>
Your intelligence sources, or somebody's intelligence sources, are better than I thought.
Let's just say that our tweeters, the guy that tweeted to Maddie's, don't miss much.
No. So I don't know what's going on with the stock market volatility. That's why I would turn to you. But there are some interesting things developing right now over in Europe, and I'm wondering between, you know, the Brexit collapse, which I have difficulty understanding how the Brits have managed to screw this up this badly, but I look at our own political process and I guess I sort of get some understanding. But the Brexit process, what's going on in Paris, the Russians with the Ukrainians, and maybe we could start with the idea that there was a report this morning that I just saw that we're apparently planning on sailing a warship into the Black Sea, which the Russians and Soviets have for many years considered to be, you know, their national sovereign space.
Sort of like the Gulf of Mexico
that
here.
Would be a pretty interesting move.
Sort of like the Gulf of Mexico here.
Soviet Russian warships and Chinese warships have gone into the Gulf many times, especially going in and out of Cuba. And you know, submarines make that transit for the Russians all the time. This would be, I'm trying to think if there's something comparable. This would, if the Canadians cared about Hudson Bay, this would kind of be analogous to that. Of course, the reason that we're looking at doing that is to basically protest to the Russians and give them, you know, another demonstration of sovereignty after they seized those Ukrainian vessels, and apparently have not released the crew or the ships, and this is a counterstep. It's a significant one. I mean, it's a way of basically telling them, look, we not only can make or we're prepared to attempt anyway, not only to make your oligarchs sweat and make it difficult for you to have access to banking facilities, but we're also prepared to come in and you know, basically engage in a little Monty Python style taunting with our own capability and up the ante there if you don't start acting a little more responsibly, and that's why you do that. It's a significant move by the Navy, and I'm sure one that is not being taken lightly. But if in fact we're going to do it, that will up the ante, up the tensions in that area significantly. So between those three things happening in the foreign sector, maybe that's what the markets are feeling. I think I think the move into the Black Sea, you know, coupled with some of the other stuff we're doing, with respect to China's demand or China's attempts to control shipping access in the Far East, I think those kinds of things are. It's one of the reasons you have a strong Navy, and it's a pretty effective way of demonstrating that. So maybe that's what's roiling the markets. I don't know.
Well, the first of all, as a contributor to the show, this is no longer volatility. This is a freaking sell-off. It's not volatility. It's a sell-off. Just saying.
Okay. And so is this considered a correction by the market? Is this a recognition that things are overvalued and we need to retrench?
Yes, yes, and yes. Nobody will know.
Or is this a reflection of we have to... We think we're going to lose our shirts if we stay with this much longer.
It could be any of the above, Lou. And the interesting part is, I was listening. I don't have the voice to go on a real rant today, but I was going to ask you, as the all-knowing, what is it about people that you put on TV that are attractive, both female and male? Not that I'm attracted to the males, I'm not. But I can see where they are more attractive than me.
You can admit that there are attractive men. There's no problem with that.
Well, sure, I got a mirror. No, I mean, they had some very attractive lady on Tuesday.
Not that you noticed.
Not that I noticed. And she said one of the dumbest things I've ever heard, and everybody was sort of congratulating her. Lewis, she said something like, the investment public ought to know 80 or 85% of the 3-5% sell-offs are just fakes. They're the weak sisters basically getting out and are a buying opportunity. Okay. I'm not going to debate the number, Lou, but if I walked into the local golf courses and put up signs that said, do you realize that in 95% of the last 9 million times they've had lightning warnings on golf courses, nobody got hit by lightning, and you should just stay out there. How stupid would people say that I was? I mean, or the last, when's the last time you had a tornado hit your house? Why are you paying attention to the tornado warnings?
I like a more graphic example. You know all those shark warnings you see at the beach?
Yeah, yeah.
It's almost certain you're not going to be the one that gets bitten.
Right. But there was a guy from News Radio 78 yesterday, the shows, was one of the guests. And he says, if you're diversified, you're okay. It's the holy grail of investment. Well, if you're in bonds and you're in stocks and the Fed misses, I'm not saying they have, and interest rates go to 6%, and I'm not predicting that, I don't care if you got bonds, I don't care if you got buildings, I don't care if you got stock, I don't care if whatever you got, old T-birds, they're going down. There's no... I mean, there's certain changes that even diversification doesn't help. I mean, these people should know better than that. Well, I can't tell you today whether you should buy puts, sell puts. Nobody can. But I will say that you probably, a few months ago, it's pretty obvious to everybody. Matter of fact, there was a guy last night who set the table for me when he goes, this is just normal market movement. A little 3% move down, closing on its low the day before a holiday? That's normal market movement. I've never seen that. What normal? Where's this guy coming from? Mars? This is not. This is what's going on right now. It could all be at the end of the year. Who knows? We could all be fine. But Lou, right now, it's not fine. We're talking 1,200 points in the last 5 trading hours or 7.
Yeah, yeah. No, I know. I mean, I've sort of been watching it, kind of wringing my hands because I knew it would be a topic of discussion today, and I'm obviously not qualified to speak on it, but. I mean, I think, but I'll speak anyway. I think, you know, again, the question I have in those kinds of situations is, or these kinds of situations is, all right, what exactly am I looking at given this kind of drop? Is this something that that reflects a trend? Is it something that reflects just, you know, this herd mentality that I know sometimes takes over the market. Is it something else? One of the things that I find interesting, and I don't know why it hasn't received more coverage, is that it's not getting the kind of, you know, MSM door to door, you know, bash Trump coverage, because I would think it would. I would think this would be exactly the kind of thing that, that would get the anti-Trump people excited. They could say, look what the economy's doing. I mean, I'm seeing some references to it on Twitter, but not the kind of mainstream press coverage that, that I would expect, especially since this could be leveraged against him because he's been bragging about the stock market all year.
Well, yeah, I think yesterday,
In other words, is this significant? Is there something else pushing this off the news? Because this would be a significant vehicle to bash the president. And I don't think the Mueller thing. Maybe the Mueller thing has pushed it off the news. I personally don't think it should, or that it would, because Mueller is a complicated story. The stock market going down is not.
I'm going to say, Lou, that it all comes down usually to the money aspect, and I think a lot of people, and I had no way to really estimate it other than I noticed it. I think a lot of people did. Wasn't the only one. For a period of 8 or 10 years, you had a Fed pouring money into the system every day. And if it didn't make it to you or me, didn't make it to Matt Weber, at the end of the day, there was money sitting on somebody's desk because they put it in the system. And someplace, somewhere, if you had the world's quietest days, if it was the laziest summer day, we'd creep up on the close. There was just money coming into the system from an artificial source, really, the Fed. Now, they're not really draining money out, but they're down to a regular number, to growth. Let's say at the end of the day, we're neutral, or pretty close to it. It's just not there. And the prices had no business sort of being where they were. But yesterday, we were up 15 points yesterday morning in the spooz. Then they pinched this lady from Hue, and all of a sudden we go down a drain again, because yesterday morning, the Chinese came out and said, yes, we are going to buy more stuff from the U.S. It was a real agreement down in Argentina, and they did their best to turn the bus around because their markets were getting their ass kicked, basically. And we arrest this lady, and all of a sudden it's the other way. So we pretty much took that Chinese story and basically shoved it up their behind. And now we've got the Nikkei down 400 points, which is almost 2%, and the Hang Seng down 663, 2.5%. That's a real number. So we're not messing around here today.
So this you think at least this most recent drop is a function of the arrest of the daughter of what's his face in Canada?
Oh God, yeah. Well, I mean, at least some of it. I mean, you never know how much. I mean, nobody knows how much, but definitely it was a change. But to get back to your policy, I was talking to an attorney, Stone Wright guy last night, and he was, you know, and he. Obviously, he was a Trump supporter, and I said, you know,
what do you mean? Obviously, he was a Trump supporter.
Well, not all people on the right
because
are.
Because he's an attorney.
No, but he's He's a very conservative dude. He's big. And, well, he's anti-liberal. Let's put it that way. So he's talking about, you know, the things that Trump has done properly, which I agree with some of it, by the way. But Lou, I think even regular people now realize that there's no plan. The disruption, it's like Amazon. They've disrupted all kinds of other industries, but they haven't made a dime doing it. I don't think the man has a plan for NAFTA. I don't think he has a plan for the Chinese stuff. And I clearly don't think he has a plan if he sends an aircraft carrier into the Black Sea. It's all stirring people up. But in New York, he could always dump it over to his attorneys. What's he going to do now? I mean, I had an uncle who was a character, real big, huge guy, looked like Luca Brasi. We'd go to the Bear games, and he'd say, cut in front of this guy, because I always drove. I'd cut in front, and a guy'd honk and probably flip us off. So he'd roll the window down, flip the guy off. And he'd say, always roll your window down, and before you flip anybody off, you have to mentally prepare yourself to leave the car if you have to. Not after. Before you flip anybody off, you got to mentally tell yourself, I'm ready to get out of this car. So we're going to send this ship into the Black Sea, just like we blew up NAFTA, just like we're blowing a cig up with China. We have no idea what the solution is. I don't think, Lou. I honestly don't believe it. We may talk about something with tariffs coming this way. I mean, we're talking about a guy who last week tweeted out that the Chinese are paying millions of dollars in tariffs. They're not paying a dime. Well, we are. I mean, does the group that obtuse? I mean,
I. I'm going to assume that's a rhetorical question, just like your one about the beautiful people with dumb opinions was. I'm thinking that the people. I'm pretty sure that this sailing the warship into the Black Sea is not the president's idea. I think far more likely, somebody in the foreign policy establishment said, we have to respond to what Russia is doing. They're getting ready to move on Ukraine. If they move on Ukraine, it's going to be pretty bad. It means we're going to have to basically reset the Iron Curtain, but we're going to move it, 1,000 miles east from its former location. So I don't think the president's doing that, or is necessarily responsible for that. I will tell you that in the chess match that goes on in these kinds of things, the preparation to get out of the car is definitely there, and there are lots of there will be let's say something really stupid happens. I mean, the ship we put a destroyer or something like that, something not too aggressive. I mean, we're not going to sail an aircraft carrier to the Black Sea, but something, a warship, a destroyer. It comes in. The Russians respond. They fly jets at it or whatever. But let's say they try to do something really stupid. They try to bump it, or they try to board it. At that point, then things get interesting, and that naval captain, whoever he is or she is going to have some fast decisions to make, and again, these options will have been laid out to that person in advance. The president will be the one, likely the one making the call in terms of the options, but that's where things go. I mean, and it doesn't necessarily have to be in the Black Sea. I mean, if they do something like that, the next response could be, off Arkhangelsk or off Vladivostok or some other place that they can't respond fast enough. So I think that move, and the fact that we telegraphed it, I think that move would be, it's a dangerous move because of miscalculation. I don't know what the Russian command and control is like, but the Soviet command and control was not necessarily the best, especially in situations like this. So we'll have to see if they do it. But I think the Huawei arrest, you look at something like that, and I'm wondering how much that was coordinated. Speaking of command and control, I wonder how much of that was coordinated with our people.
We're the ones that demanded it. We're the ones that demanded
it. Situation where the president has apparently was in the process of defusing the tariff crisis that he created. That was in the process of defusing that, and all of a sudden the Canadians come in and go, well, I think we'll just throw a. They will just throw a grenade in the middle of that process.
Well, the Canadians didn't do it. We did it. We asked them to do it, and we were trying to extradite her.
Okay.
Well, that was not the Canadians' idea at all. They did it on our ask.
Okay. Well, in that case, then we send a message to the Chinese and say we take this stuff seriously, and if your people are traveling, are traveling where we can get them, we're going to get them.
Well, now, where exactly, if they are guilty of essentially routing stuff to Iran, why, I'm no fan of the Chinese, but why is that a crime for them necessarily?
Well, because we would have jurisdiction if, in fact, they are violating our trade restrictions and are doing business with the United States. That would, at least in theory, give us jurisdiction to enforce our trade sanctions.
All right.
It's the same deal where we can shut down or put sanctions in place against foreign banks or foreign businesses that do this. I'm not exactly sure how the reach. It's a whatever the statute is that the 18 U.S.C. statute that gives us makes us a crime. I'm not exactly sure what the reach is, but we have the ability to enforce. Our courts give us the ability to enforce our law against foreign citizens in places where we can bring them in.
All right, so
much like we could with what's his face, Julian Assange.
All right, let's start from the top on this one because I'm curious. I mean, we in a bunch of other countries signed this deal with Iran. Bad in the barrel. I never read it. I don't know. You know, John Kerry seemed to think it was okay. Trump didn't think it was very good. So who the hell knows there? But let's say it was somewhat of a bad deal. And the Iranians are cheating a little bit. Okay, let's assume that all happens. We, with a great pomp and circumstance, blow off the deal. Now, Canada, for instance, or Britain, or Mozambique, signed the thing with us. They don't agree with our blowing off the deal. They think the deal's working better than if there is no deal. Maybe not perfectly. And they are set up to sell Iran oil equipment because that was what we were doing and other stuff. That was the return for them doing the stuff. They don't stop. But they have still a signed deal. We're the only ones that pulled out of it. How does that give us the right, legally, I mean, morally maybe we do, but legally, how does that give us the right to come down on Mozambique? Because they still got a deal. They're not the ones that unsigned it. We did.
Well, we're not coming down against a political entity. We're coming down against the private, quote-unquote, private companies and private mechanisms that are engaged in the selling. If we think a country's involved, and if the country's leadership's involved, then our sanctions have to be something different, which is why, for example, with Russia, the sanctions against Russian conduct in places where we don't like it, like Syria and some other places, our sanctions are directed not so much at the Russian government, but at the people who are friends of the Russian government.
Right, I understand.
And Russian companies. So that's what you're seeing here. And how does it give us the right to do it? The statute will allow us to, gives us the ability to enforce the requirements and enforce the restrictions on the treaties with sanctions against individuals or their businesses, so that we can hail these people into U.S. courts.
I mean, I don't understand the. I'm with you in spirit here. You're not supposed to do it on radio. I don't agree with people, but I just don't know the mechanism. We don't like Iran. We sign a deal. We're starting to sell them. You know, Halliburton and everybody's over there burning up big tabs. All of a sudden, Trump comes in. We don't like the deal anymore. We pull out. I don't see how that makes Brazil a criminal for selling the same oil equipment that was okay for us to do a month ago.
It's it's not so much a function of you know, making Brazil a criminal. It would be the entities that actually do business there. We would sanction those businesses.
Well, they're saying that they're routing our stuff over there to get around it.
Yeah, it's the same. Yeah. It's the same mechanism we use against North Korea. You know, the North Koreans don't have much of an economic footprint outside of North Korea, but we can, except where they're counterfeiting money. So we go after businesses that go in there, and our sanctions are in place. We have announced that. We announced that operation, and then we tell everybody, if you do business with these guys, we will use whatever enforcement mechanism we've got.
How is this? What's the
your question is, since these people aren't American companies, what's the basis for that?
Yeah.
Well, they're in the international sphere, and in the international sphere, you can operate with your people and with your laws. You can operate by declaring that this is of interest to you, and you're going to take steps to enforce it.
So where's the court? The Hague?
No. It'll be brought into U.S. courts.
Really?
Yeah. No, we wouldn't rely on on something like the Hague. This is a creature of U.S. law and U.S. treaty. It's not a creature of international law.
When we come back, I don't want to beat this one up, but just if everybody's involved in a treaty and we're the only ones that pull out, seems like we have somebody here who thinks he obligates other people to pull out too. I'm not so sure you do. Anyway, I don't.
Well, this is the international sphere. So the obligation to pull out of the treaty along and following us is tied to the fact that if you don't, we can make life miserable for you.
Okay, so it's a force there. All right. SP Futures still down 38. Dow Futures down 382. This is on top of a 799 drop on Tuesday, so this is not good. We'll be right back, Stocks and Jacks.
Hello, this is Tom Howell, the Chief. We've talked a lot on the show about risk and suitability, about how your portfolio should match your age, income, and risk appetite. It's been hard for investors to maintain that suitability in the last several years due to a Fed strategy that has driven interest rates to virtually zero. You may have even heard that the Fed was trying to drive conservative investors to a riskier portfolio on purpose, for whatever reason. I'm sure you are aware of investors that took some increased risk, such as longer-term fixed-income securities, and are now unhappy with that choice. At PTI, we have always stressed total portfolio risk awareness and tried to minimize chasing returns in a tough environment. Well, now it looks like maybe interest rates are moving more towards historical levels. Everyone needs to be aware of what that continued movement might do to your portfolio, both good and bad. We also have a stock market that seems to have stalled, at least for the short term. I think it's time for everyone to take a serious look at their goals, their risks, and their portfolios. Do they match? If not, we can help. We have a signature protected index program. We have ways to hedge against interest risk. We can make that portfolio right for you again. Go to PTISecurities.com or call us right now. The market can change very rapidly. That's PTISecurities.com.
Hi, I'm Audrey Johnson, an owner of Home Source Realty and a frequent contributor to Stocks and Jocks. If you're nervous about the stock market and considering diversification, or are looking for a rate of return way better than your banks, consider adding rental properties to your portfolio. Whether it's a condo, single family, or multi-unit building, I can help you select a property that meets your financial needs. Call or text me at 708-349-3456. That's 708-349-3456. Or visit my website at myhomesourcerealty.com. That's myhomesourcerealty.com.
Hello, I'm David Andelman, founder and president of DAX Research, a registered commodity trading advisor. I'm also a wealth manager with PTI and a frequent contributor to the Stocks and Jocks radio show. For more than 30 years, professional traders at the CME, including four past CME presidents, have chosen DAX Research to help guide their trading. That same research is available to you. We are offering three research newsletters: the Daily News, our Daily Stock and Futures Trading Recommendations, and our twice weekly top three tiers of recommended stocks. Each of these reports are available via email. To benefit from the same research professionals have used for more than three decades, call me and get 2 weeks free with a 1 month subscription, or you may also call me for a free portfolio analysis to see how we can work together to build your future. I'm David Andelman, president of DAX Research. Call toll free 1-800-821-4968. Stock and futures have risk of loss and are not suitable for everyone.
Hello, this is Tom Howell, the Chief. Confused about investing these days? I suspect you are not alone. Investing was never easy, although at times it may have seemed so. I think one reason behind the current concern, although maybe not explained as such, is how the fluctuation in the American dollar and the associated politics is affecting your investments and your wealth. It may not be enough to make some money in your investments. You may need now to make enough to exceed the amount that your leadership is depreciating the value of the dollars you've worked your whole life to accumulate. That same leadership has seen fit to maneuver risk-free interest rates to near zero. Providing positive risk-averse returns in a zero-interest and declining real wealth environment is by far the toughest assignment I've ever had in my years as a money manager. I'm sure that a lot of you have heard that one way to possibly deal with this problem is to invest in so-called hard currencies like silver and gold, the idea being that they will retain their relative value in the face of devaluation of paper currencies like the dollar. To be honest, I have never been a gold bug. I've always had faith that having enough dollars and a good investment strategy was good enough. Now I'm not so sure. But I do know that if I did invest in gold or silver, I'd want to do it in the same manner as we do with PTI for investments in the market, with defined risk. If you feel the need to invest in gold or silver, we can do it using the same strategies that we use for our protected index program. No matter what you invest in, we feel that you need to know and control your risk. Find us at PTISecurities.com. That's PTISecurities.com.
Is your business being challenged by the complexities surrounding healthcare reform or other matters related to human resources management? If so, then Cognos HR can help. A longtime friend and contributor to the Stocks and Jocks radio program, Cognos HR provides its clients with a perfect blend of strategic consulting and day-to-day HR management to drive overall improvement in business performance. Companies that join the Cognos HR family are better able to manage healthcare costs, enhance benefit offerings, and improve employee satisfaction by leveraging our access to Fortune 500 benefits. Our innovative onboarding and payroll technology, along with our constant attention to detail, enables us to provide the highest level of quality service to our clients. Now, your time and energy can be focused on generating business and increasing your bottom line. We'll take care of the rest. For more information, call us at 630-401-8810 or search us on the web at CognosHR.com. Cognos HR, innovation in human resources. Licensed in Illinois and Arizona.
Stocks, jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
You are out of control.
Right here, right now, right here, right now, right now.
Hello and welcome back to Stocks and Jocks. I'm Tim Holley, Mr. Matt Weber, Will Michaels, calling in from Colorado. Just a quick one for you guys. Whose quote was this? You can't tweet in if you Googled it. The best way to predict the future is to create it, Matty.
Yeah, that's interesting. Is that called insider trading?
Well, that would be cool. S&P futures down 39, Dow futures down 383, NASDAQ futures down 125. Ouch, ouch. Pretty much around the world. Over in Europe, we've got DAX down 267, that's 2.4%. FTSE down 154, 2.2%. CAC around down 108, 2.2%. So pretty much a little over 2% across the board. And, Europe. A lot of this, well, coincidental with the arrest of this lady in from Howe up in Canada. How do you pronounce that? Howe? Nikkei down 417, that's 1.9%. Shanghai down 44, 1.7%. Big one here is Hang Seng down 663, 2.5%, as they're starting to worry if they're going to continue to be sort of a separate market from China. I don't know how that's going to work out, but that's kind of the fear of the other day. I don't know why, but all of a sudden that's coming up. Oil down $1.35, $51.54. Brent down $1.33, $60.23. So we're talking about roughly not even $9, $8.75. Natural gas, $4.37. RBOB, $1.40. By the way, the prices have bounced up. I got $1.91 last Sunday, man. It's already back up to like $2.30 everywhere. That's weird. Gold, we have the gold down 79 cents, so not much there. Silver down 15 cents. What do you have for us, traffic, weather, sports? Anybody else get fired? Any coaches?
Not yet, but the night is young, or the morning is young. 37 minutes past the hour. Good morning to everyone out there. Off to a pretty good start on the area expressways, roadways, and tollways. Nice and dry out there. We do have a stalled semi on the right shoulder of I-55 northbound just before Lamont Road, and that's causing a bit of a slowdown as folks navigate around that, but no issues outside of that on the Stevenson. Dan Ryan, I-57 and the Bishop Ford are looking good. Traffic building on the Eisenhower, but no accidents to report. Same for the Edens and Kennedy. We're all quiet on those expressways. Northern suburbs, Town Line Road westbound at Waukegan Road, there is a crash. And then just northwest of there, Route 137, at Butterfield, there's an accident. But everything else looking okay out there. Weather today, partly cloudy skies, a high of 32, and coincidentally, that's exactly where we are right now. So we're at our highs right now downtown, and we'll hover in the low 30s all day. Right now, it's mostly clear and 32, and we'll stay right there. For our Phoenix listeners, rain in the forecast today, a high of 62. Right now, it's cloudy and 54. In sports, Blackhawks continue to struggle. They lost last night in Anaheim, 4-2 was the final, losing to the Ducks. The Coyotes were off. Bulls and Suns were both off as well. College hoops, Illinois played Ohio State last night at the United Center and actually had a 4-point lead at halftime before the 19th-ranked Buckeyes came back and beat Illinois in the second half, winning 77-67. I guess there was only 5,200 fans in attendance at the United Center last night for Illinois and Ohio State.
Why is the city of Chicago just not into college basketball?
I don't know. I mean, the Loyola run last year was pretty cool, and people kind of got behind that. And, you know, when DePaul is good, which isn't very often, I think people get behind that. I don't know. In 2005, when Illinois was really good, they probably would have sold that game out. So, I don't know. I just think the teams suck. by the way, Loyola, speaking of sucking, they look like they're just a one-and-done type of situation, as they're now 5-4 on the season. They lost at home last night to Ball State, 75-69.
Chief. Yeah, Lou, we were talking about a bunch of stuff. But no, things are, a lot of things seem to be happening all at once. I think in answer to your earlier question, the central banks were driving prices to a point where, you know, they were unsustainable. You still have people in Europe, you know, with zero interest on loans, for God's sake. I mean, this is way off the chart. This was really bad policy to start with, and now it's coming unglued with a lot of other stuff. And we have any chance that the tax decrease helped people out has been taken away by the stuff that's gone up, or they're starting to go up with the tariffs. So we're really not in a good place. I think that 60% of the population never came out of the recession. We just went from unworking people that are broke to working people that are broke in a lot of ways.
Let me shift gears a little bit away from our discussion of international politics to come back to something that has been a theme here with me for probably the time that I've been on the show. Its latest manifestation is the Kareem Hunt release by Kansas City, and that is the unending and increasingly slippier slope that the NFL and NFL clubs are finding themselves on as they are figuring out who can get further ahead of the gun or jump the gun further than the last team on dealing with player violence issues, and especially violence issues involving women and these kinds of problems. I again think that the NFL has made a terrible mistake by deciding to step into the role of judge, jury, and executioner without some specific, you know, some specific guidelines as to what constitutes, you know, a team interest to or employer interest in these kinds of things. The Hunt situation proves what I'm referring to now, and I'm in my own discussions and conversations as the Ray Rice rule, which is if you've got a videotape of you doing, you know, getting anywhere near a woman with you know, some contact or something like that, if there's a video of that, you're done. It goes back to that onion joke or onion story that came out when Rice was videotaped punching his fiance at that point, and up till then everything had been manageable by the Baltimore Ravens, but the minute that video comes out, they fired him, and you know, the Onion publishes a story with a headline: NFL takes a zero tolerance position with respect to videotaped incidents of you know, domestic assault. And it was supposed to be a joke, but it actually was dead on, and I think quite true. As an employment lawyer, I come back and go back to, you know, sort of fundamental, you know, first principles. We don't, as a general rule, and I don't think anybody would argue with this, we don't want employers having to investigate or take action based on their investigations against employees for off-duty conduct. We don't want employers investigating their employees on the possibility of off-duty conduct, and we don't want them making those kinds of decisions based on those investigations, because employers, unless they're police agencies, are terrible at this stuff. They're lousy at investigating their own. And if you want proof of that outside the NFL, look at the Les Moonves situation at CBS that was just uncovered yesterday or just released yesterday. They're terrible at it. They're subject to all kinds of conflicts of interest. They don't have same access to information, and so under these circumstances, it's hard for me to come down and say, yeah, the NFL's going to be right in all these cases, and they shouldn't, you know, at any report of this kind of stuff, they ought to fire people. It's not a situation where I think they should be stepping in with the weight that they're stepping in right now. Bottom line for them, they're an entertainment business. What's the impact of this stuff on their product and on their audience. And I'll be real interested to see what happens with Hunt if somebody picks him up. He's a talent, and it's fascinating to me to look at how the reaction to his arrest or to his situation, how fast somebody will move on that. I've long maintained that if you are talented enough, it doesn't matter what you do, but the Hunt situation may test us. We'll see.
Well, Lou, there's some, I can't believe I'm on the opposite side of this one than you. I'm not really opposite, but we've come somewhat of a long way from a guy showing up at Pullman. You don't even know if he's married. You don't even know if he's got any kids, nor do you care. He shows up, he welds for 8 hours, and he goes home. You want him to show up sober. You want him to show up every day. I suppose you care what he does in his off time, but you really don't.
You care. I mean, this is...
But you care because you care about everybody treating other people bad, but just in general, you don't care enough to ask.
Well, and you don't care enough to investigate. I mean, yeah. I understand why NFL clubs want to investigate their players for things like drug use and other things that have a direct impact on their ability to play. So if you got investigators out, you got people out trying to figure out whether you got players using prescribed substances. I get that. If the guy's doing it, he's making himself he's taking himself off the field for however long the drug use policy requires. This is a much different kind of call. I hear people saying, "Well, you know, this we can't promote this kind of thing or whatever." And I'm going, "Okay, well, I don't want the employer. I don't want somebody's employer being the mechanism of enforcement for justice if the criminal justice system isn't stepping into the breach and dealing with it. I don't want that to be an alternative. Just like I don't want people's political contributions or their political stands necessarily to drive their employability. Unless it's so notorious or so awful that the employer says, you know what, this is a risk to our business model if we keep this person around. And there are some cases where you can credibly make that case.
There
are very few and far between.
Well, I mean, even in Pullman days, if every Friday night the guy went over to the bar where people cashed their checks and busted up the place and got in fights with two people, you might say, we don't want this guy around. But no, those would be criminal acts. But I could see them saying, "Hey, buddy, what are you doing? You're wrecking the place. Get the hell out of here, or stop drinking, or do something." There is a limit. But these places, Lou, they're like monopolies, though. The NFL not only has an image in their mind; they're the only league. If Commonwealth Edison has a problem with two people being idiots in Rush Street some night, it's not like you and I can go to a different electric company. All kind of comes together. The fact that it's, you know what I'm saying, they're monopolies.
So let me try to refine this down a little bit. And I'm not saying this is an automatic standard, but you know, an NFL club and the league needs to be able to say, look, this was a situation where, as an employer, we can't point to a definitive impact on our operations, but we have real concerns about a trend or about sending a message. So when Pac-Man Jones gets into a shooting incident at a nightclub in which a guy is paralyzed, or Ray Rice is involved, in a homicide with members of his entourage, the NFL can come in and say, look, this is bad for the image. We can draw a straight line from your conduct and your involvement in this thing to the image of the NFL, and we're going to discipline you for this. Whatever that discipline is, we're going to discipline you for this because we don't want the image being damaged and we don't want this to become a trend. Okay, fine. That's one line. Another line would be, the conduct is so notorious and so horrific that, or the evidence of it is, that we can't, you're damaging the brand by having you in there. I think that's an argument you could have made once the Rice punching video came out. With Hunt, I think the videotape, quite frankly, up until the time I believe he kicks the woman involved, up until the time he does that, I think you've got an equivocal situation. But again, the club's got to make that call.
Oh, this is like the Trump situation. There's going to be people that if it's your team, you don't care if you grab a guy out of Joliet for the Sunday game if he can run. I mean, most people don't equate nicety with, that's
what I call the Urban Meyer school of public relations. I don't mean to slander Coach Meyer, who I guess is finished after this season, right? Can you believe that?
Well, he's got a cyst on his brain or something.
Yeah, I don't guarantee, but I would be shocked if he wasn't coaching again within the next 3 years.
Well, he left the other place.
He said he was done after Florida, and a couple years later, he's at Ohio State. Now he's done after the Rose Bowl this year, and he probably is going to, spend a couple years, get healthy, get right with the family, and then I imagine he'll coach again.
Well, and again, that's another one of these situations where he's a coaching talent, and he hasn't punched anybody on videotape. I think at some point the clubs have to, and the league needs to step back. I think the league is getting into a, and I think I said this on the air several years ago, I think the league is getting into a very dangerous place on some of these cases where they are now, they're now being identified as an entity that has a quote obligation unquote to deal with these players and their off-duty conduct, and I don't want to be there for that.
Well, but these guys, I don't know. How do you put it this way? These are elite athletes to start with, and it's not like most guys are stronger than women. Some aren't. Some women are pretty strong. They're elite athletes that these guys tone and train all year long. You got no business running over some lady. It's like a professional boxer taking on some guy in a local bar. I mean,
the push and shove where everybody got knocked down. I mean, I don't put that down to anything other than he was pushing those people away from him, and it was a kind of a melee right there. The point where he comes back out and kicks her when she's on the ground. I mean, that's inexcusable, and I could see the club saying, "All right, we got irrefutable evidence that this happened, and that's tied to the brand, and we can't tolerate it, so we're gonna let you go." What I'm concerned about are these kinds of reflexive reactions.
Well, I agree.
Where somebody makes an allegation or something like that, and then we gotta jump. And the funny thing is, you have that kind of reaction to a violent outburst like this. At the same time, within the highest echelons of CBS, you had what appears to be, based on that story and a number of witnesses who are willing to come forward, you appear to have a serious predatory culture that was reinforced and tolerated, acknowledged, and in some cases even fostered by the organization itself, an organization that I would guess was comprised of people who voted almost exclusively for Democrats and for Hillary Clinton.
Well, I don't know about that.
Barack Obama and the whole bit, but which was one of the most predatory and anti-female or anti-woman environments that I can imagine.
I know a lot of people who profess to be Democrats and go down to black and vote the other way, but
and that is a direct effect on the company because that was happening inside the company walls.
You mean you guys don't have you guys don't have anybody with come across the oral sex on demand like this guy?
That was not unbelievable? And you know, I don't know whether that's a rumor or whatever, but that's one of those stories that sounds like nobody would make so, you know, that's hard to imagine being made up.
Oh God, yeah. I mean, that's a whopper if you make that one up. Hey, real quick, because I want to talk a little bit about how many people in your company are flipping their 401k or have anybody?
I don't have any idea.
I'm going to think nobody, Lou. Everybody's locked into this buy and hold, and people have this very odd view of the world. I don't know why that is. I never understood it when I used to gamble a lot, and I never understood it when I traded, but because they've made money with this buy and hold thing for the last 10 years, and markets change. You know, I can't tell people they should have been insured the last 10 years, because guess what? Looking back at it, there weren't a whole lot of accidents in the market. And I think by and large, you'd be down money on your insurance. I mean, not a 10 years before that, now that's a different story. 10 years going forward, people almost seem like they're, if they're in Vegas, if they're up 500 at the blackjack, they're almost, feel like they're obligated to give 250 back before they leave or something. And why do people think now that, I've had interviews with some potential clients in the last 3 weeks, and all of them are concerned about the market. When it gets right down to it, they just want the market to come back up some, then they'll think about, you know, protecting themselves. They really don't want it. They just want it to come back up. Well, they're not willing to change anything from the last 9 or 10 years. The last thing you want, if people don't want to, you know, change or hedge themselves or do something, you know, you don't want to, you're not going to force anybody. I mean, that's, people feel, and by the way, it's also very difficult to tell people to buy insurance today. Well, we're down, you know, 1,200 points in 2 days. I mean, the idea is to have
the
a program.
The insurance is more expensive now,
oh,
too.
Absolutely. So the idea is to have a program going, you know, but you can't feel, at the very least, you can cut back or you can do something. But I think most people are saying enough. It just comes back again. They'll be on TV. They'll listen to somebody who says, don't worry, it'll all bounce back. And Lou, we could go down another 15, 20% and sit there a decade. I've seen it happen. I don't want to see it happen. But I mean, nobody has any idea of what we're going through now. But the people who say this is normal, I'm going to say you're wrong. This isn't normal. Even if it's the biggest dip ever that you should be buying, it's not normal. You know what I'm saying? Hey, real quick, what about the Me Too people now all up in arms about some of the Wall Street firms saying they don't want men and women traveling together, staying in the same hotel?
Who didn't see that coming?
Oh, I know.
I had this conversation with one of my clients who said, look, we want to put policies in place to, you know, forestall these kinds of complaints. And I said, well, then speaking frankly, you are going to be instituting a kind of puritanical set of business rules. And the real problem, the real victim of this stuff is going to be your female employees. Because, you know, the bottom line is this goes back to the whole issue about, you know, the whole equality issue. You know, we want to treat everybody the same. We want to treat men and women the same. And the short answer is that as you watch that Me Too thing burgeon from complaints about being physically assaulted or grabbed, to complaints about being subjected to conduct that didn't harm or didn't affect the woman physically but affected her emotionally, to conduct that was simply boorish, I'm thinking the previous example, I was thinking of Louis C.K., to conduct that was simply boorish, to conduct that just was unpleasant and or miscommunicated. And all of that got lumped into the Me Too issue and the idea that, you know, believe women first. Well, if that's the standard, then I promise you, men in a business setting, especially men who are careful in a business setting, are not going to associate with you because they have no idea, especially with the age of some of the complaints. That was something that I raised right out of the gate. I understand, you know, that this stuff festers and, you know, justice needs to be done, but I do not want to be in a position where we are incentivizing people to come forward with complaints that are decades old. I want to incentivize people to take action up front and to say, hey, that's a problem, stop it. Or I'm not going to participate in this, stop it. And if you don't do that, then what you do now is you've now planted the seeds with a whole generation of guys who are walking around going, I'm not going to get anywhere near a woman in a business
setting. You'd never travel alone with somebody now. Why would you?
Oh, no. And I would never be in a position where I would have sit down with a female client or a female coworker in a non-public setting. You know, that's just not going to happen. It's very difficult. And you see the kind of bizarro world mindset, this puritanical mindset that's kicking in with attacks on songs like Baby It's Cold Outside or that song from The Little Mermaid, Kiss the Girl, which are now, you know, which are simply recognitions that the interactions between men and women in a romantic setting are extremely nuanced and extremely complicated. And you know, people understand what's going on in those songs and in those lyrics, but you have a puritanical wave of folks coming out now who are saying, no, you can't have that. It's got to be laid out in a contract. There's got to be affirmative consent, and if it's not there, then
Lou, next week, if the
guy's guilty of something,
the market cools down a little bit. I want to talk a little bit about this lady and who's given. Getting castigated by the liberal press because she was basically complaining about the statues coming down. It's kind of interesting. We'll talk about that next week. S&P futures down 42, Dow down 410, NASDAQ down 125. Pretty bad morning so far. We'll be right back, Mr. Fariyamzi.
Hello, this is Tom Howell, the Chief. Markets close to all-time highs. Interest rates close to all-time lows. Investors are nervous. No return on cash balances. May have some invested a little too much for comfort. Some not invested at all, earning very little. The market itself seems nervous. Experts say you should protect yourself. Experts say you should never sell. Experts say to get out right now, yet they are all experts. Then again, they do not know you or your situation. There are also some strange things going on at brokerage and investment advisor firms. Some solid clients and even some diligent brokers and investment advisors are being tossed out. Not big enough, don't charge enough, whatever the reason. This may leave you in a place where there literally is no one knowledgeable left to talk to if needed. PTI Securities and Futures is still here. Either here at our Chicago home office or in Arizona with Jan Neal, we still believe in servicing clients and providing a home for the right brokers or investment advisors the old-fashioned way. We are competitive, but we're also available to help. The last few years have seen a straight-up market without the need of a lot of investment help. What about this year or next year? If things change in the markets, do you really think you are ready? We also have a long history of designing and managing portfolios for people just like you. Might be good for you to check us out at PTISecurities.com. That's PTISecurities.com.
Are you one of the millions of people who suffer with pain? Do you wake up in the morning with stiffness in the lower back or neck? Why are you using medication to cover up the symptoms without treating the actual cause? Painkillers, muscle relaxants, and anti-inflammatories are not the answer. At ChiroMed, physicians are trained to detect the cause of your symptoms and to correct the underlying problem. If you're ready to listen to common sense and do what it takes to make changes in your body that can affect your health for the rest of your life, give ChiroMed a call and set up a complimentary consultation. They are located in Orland Park and can be reached at 708-403-2727. 20,000 patients over 22 years have been treated at ChiroMed, and over 90% of them have had positive results without medication or expensive surgery. Isn't it time you did something good for your body too? Give ChiroMed a call. 708-403-2727. That's 708-403-2727. Let's get you pain-free and living again.
Hi, this is John Neal from PTI Securities and Futures and a frequent contributor to the Stocks and Jocks radio program, as well as the branch manager of our Peoria, Arizona location. I hope you, like many of our listeners, have benefited from the outstanding market returns of the last several years. But have you recently become unsettled due to the worldwide geopolitical uncertainty, the increased volatility of commodities and currencies, or the looming Federal Reserve interest rate hikes? If you have answered yes to any of these questions, we can help you. Here at PTI, we offer a unique variety of income-producing securities as well as our proprietary hedging program to protect your assets. More information about these exciting programs and much more can be obtained from our website at PTISecurities.com, or feel free to email me at john@PTISecurities.com. That's J-O-H-N at PTISecurities.com.
This self-directed trading is a lonely job. Online trading is not as easy as point and click.
No, it's not. Everyone, even professionals, need to share ideas and think out loud every now and then.
That's what I like about PTI Pro Direct. Their staff of former option floor traders really helps me choose the right strategy for trading option volatility and plan the time decay for my covered writing program.
Yep, nothing can replace years of trading experience to stop you from making that dumb trade and for saving a few bucks. We've all been there and done that.
Yeah, I have access to all that great trading advice and experience for just a penny a share for stocks, $1 for equity options, and $1 minimum a trade.
Our clients at PTI Pro Direct can call when they need a little help on a trade or just to talk about the market in general. We trade every day. We love this stuff.
That's what I like most about PTI Pro Direct. Cheap prices along with great advice from real floor traders. It's the best of both worlds.
Tell your friends. That's PTIProDirect.com, PTIProDirect.com.
Interested in promoting your business to a high-end audience comprised of entrepreneurs, traders, executives, and the everyday business person? Consider advertising on Stocks and Jocks. With a devout listenership covering the Chicago market, along with a vast online presence, advertising on Stocks and Jocks may be just what it takes to put your business over the top. For more information, contact me, Matt Weber, at matt@stocksandjocks.net. That's matt@stocksandjocks.net.
Hear ye, hear ye! The Homer Broadcasting System is on the air!
Stocks, Jocks.
Stocks and Jocks.
Stocks and Jocks.
You are out of control!
Right here, right now, right here, right now, right now.
Something happening here.
Well, welcome back to Stacks and Jacks. I'm Tom Holly. Mr. Matt Weber on the board here. Mr. Fari Hamzy. SP Futures down
42. Good morning.
Down 42. Dow Futures down 410. NASDAQ Futures down 125. All right, Matty, who is the quote? The best way, Fari, who said this? The best way to predict the future is to create it.
That's right. That's right.
Who said
and remember,
it?
Remember, who was it? I think it was, what's his name? Rob Pisani the other day, he came up with massive revelation, at least for Comedy Central. The issue is Matt IQ's over there. And he said, market is a discounting mechanism. I said, bravo. Somebody's thinking over there.
Yeah.
It's very true. Something is happening over or forward. And remember, we peaked on transportation in mid-September. Who was pounding the table back then? Let me see.
Your.
How many coffees you've had this morning? Let's check that.
Half of one. By the way, it was Abraham Lincoln. You did
last
everything.
September?
No, the best way to predict the future is to create it.
Oh, I see. That was Abraham Lincoln. Right. Fine. Well, we didn't have the mathematics models we have now. That's why we had the crash.
Yeah.
But what September, mid-September, who was pounding the table that transportation had peaked?
Yeah. You were.
And then after that, indices peaked. If you go back, same thing happened in January. Mid-January, transportation peaked. Then the indices peaked on 26, and you heard what happened after that. Two, ba-bing, you know, one in February and then one in March, right? End of March and the beginning of February. Well, that was Captain Tico. He came out and said, guys, there's a problem here. Now, where were we heading? We don't know yet. It was just the beginning of the move, but take a look. As we cross the 50 bar, you have a wedge developing on the charts. This is on SPX, NDX, Transportation, Russell. That is a debt cross in the early formation. You have to really visualize it or project it, if you will, interpolate it forward in your mind that, oh, there may be a debt cross coming. Well, I'm happy to report to you that all four have happened. We got a debt cross on Russell on, I'm looking at the chart here, I wish I could share this chart with you live, on the 14th. Then came Transportation. On the 26th, these are November, we had a debt cross on NDX last week. I'm sorry, yes, on Friday. And today, we're going to put the SPX debt cross. So you think we've had some swings? Here's my word to the Trumpkins and the Trumpkin Central. Watch out. You're going to have a very, very interesting surprise on your 201K plan. Because all the money managers you left your money with, they have no other choice but start selling now. After this, because if an SPX, 80% of U.S. equities, get into a debt cross, you know, they have no choice. They got to either protect what they got or not come back January. They've lost their job. They could be applying for Uber.
Why now?
We owe a debt of gratitude to somebody like Tico, who can speak that early to us and give us some wisdom.
My question has to be, Fari, why now? What's so unique about the last couple of weeks?
I don't know that. That's a very good question. We can be a talking head on a lot of these either political or financial websites and give a bunch of excuses. Nobody knows. It's order flow. We all make decisions at our own pace, at our own... You know, we prosecute this way, as Colin Powell said. At the time and place of our choosing, you decide to buy, I decide to sell. You have a daughter you're going to have a wedding for, I want to buy a boat. And Maddie wants to take three of his girlfriends at the same time to Barbados. Whatever is the reason, boom, you go there and get on the machine and say, I'm buying, I'm selling. The market is accumulation of all those individual decisions. We can sit here and say this is because of a trade, it's because of Mueller, it's because of Grampino, whatever. We don't know. But obviously there's enough nervousness about the future of the market where the smart money is hitting the sell button early.
Well, I had a guy yesterday saying that this is a very normal market. What's he watching?
Okay. I don't mind, actually. You know me. I need volatility. I'm a day trader, so I'm technically a whore. You know, for a small fee, I do anything. If this thing moves, I'm game. I don't fall in love with my positions. I go flat, so on and so forth. We, as a matter of fact, now Larry next to you gets my emails for yep. the PMT oil trade you guys run for us. We said our respect for George Herbert Walker Bush 41 state funeral. We're going to go flat. That was Tuesday night, and we'll see. And then yesterday, we went back in and said, hey, guys, because of that thing behind us and it's over, now we're going to look at the market and tell you what we're going to do. And it looks like, you know what? We're going to resume our bias. So we were short again. It has been a tremendous... We have taken so far in the last 3 weeks over 3,000, close to 3,500 points out of the Dow.
Yeah.
It is incredible. I mean, we're exhausted. Now, are we done at the bottom? Let the cash market open up to look at it, because most of these timing indicators are cash, you know, RTH related. It's hard to say from future what's going on. And what matters really is the big gun, is the big boys coming in during the volume session, which is RTH, and see what they find, what they trade. The uncertainties in Washington are palpable. There's no question. And that's why the smart money is jumping out first and selling in with both hands. And, you know, we'll see. Maybe 66.50, for example, on the NQs is a double bottom. For the sake of the nation, I wish that. Because as long as it turns around, I'll get long. I don't care. You know? A long time ago, I gave up. I sold. Okay? I sold or double sold the concept of buy and hope. The buy and hope, I'm not part of it anymore. It doesn't work. Years ago, it did for me very well. When you buy Dow at 729, it's in my book, on the silver crash, that was a different phenomenon. That was a different era. Now, we have fast money, we have hot money, we also have very, very fast platforms, global markets, interconnected, trading 24-6. You just can't fall in love with a position holder. It's very difficult. So we'll see. We have some puts on FB. I think we're going to hold to that. The news on that is not good, especially from Europe. And Europe has been historically very difficult on the privacy issues. Let's see. Ranking Retirement Digest last Friday, before all of this volatility, which we have nailed, was 416. I suspect by the weekend, by tomorrow night, when the update, they run the machine, and after the close tomorrow, I'm either 112 or 212 in the country. We have killed it. Exhausted. We'd like to take a couple of days off. But I don't know. We'll see. Now, trade wars as an issue. No question. The tariff and all that. The uncertainties, another issue. The fact that nothing gets backed up. We have a lot of hot air coming up. That's the word Grampino. But there's no hard backup. Including the Chinese came out and said, you know, well, we're working on this. That's not an answer market wants to hear.
So well, it was good
we
enough.
Some concrete stuff. Why? It's the boy who cried wolf too many times.
It was good for 15 points to the upside in spiders yesterday, or the spoos yesterday morning before he arrested this lady.
Yeah.
And then we
By the way, on the George Herbert Walker Bush front, I was mentioning that to Maddie. First of all, here's a public service announcement. A, blondes or Trumpkins, no need to apply. This is difficult. Today, at 4:15 Central, 17:15 Eastern, wherever you are, whatever watering hole you're near, or make sure you're near a TV, unprecedented event is going to happen. U.S. Navy is going to fly 21 Super Hornets from, I believe, 7 different strike groups who have functioned on and off, because they rotate these, off of CVN 77, the Bush super carrier, the last of the Nimitz class, over the Houston, Presidential Library, in a 21 aircraft formation. For wow. Reagan, they flew 6-1, with a one big missing man formation. They're going to fly 21 today. I don't think we'll ever see that again, because we've never had a president with his background in national defense and national security, and also being a fighter pilot, and then being a Navy guy. This is going to be a precision flight over his presidential library again. 4:15 Central, 17:15, 5:15 in New York. 30 aircraft took off from Oceania last night, or yesterday afternoon, to be in place, to be ready, of which 21 are going to fly. The other 9 are spares. They're not going to miss this. This is a huge thing. We've never flown 21 aircrafts like this. So, I mean, I remember for Ronald Reagan, they came in over Ojai Mountains, and they pull up, and the missing man on top. It was something else. I still probably have it in my TiVos recorder. But tonight, I've got 2 TiVos running to make sure to grab that timeline.
I don't know where
Do not miss it.
I don't know where it was.
We won't see it in our lifetime. Look at the other presidents we have. None of them have been so supportive of the Defense Department and national security and all that. Nope, they will never, ever, the brass will never approve of a plan like this again. Not even for George W. Remember, he had problems with his Air National Guard in Texas. Okay?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
And then he went moved to Alabama. There was a pay issues. And he was flying, I think, F-102s. I forget the name of that. He was flying F-102s, nothing like flying being on a carrier base, and flying 58 combat missions, and then getting shot down.
Where did he get shot down?
Pardon me?
Where did he get shot down?
No, I'm talking about his father.
I know, where?
Oh, it was in the Pacific Ocean near Chichimua, something. It was the islands that he got shot down.
You picked up right away?
It was near Japan. It was very close to Japan.
All right.
He got shot down in September 44 on the Avenger. By the way, Avenger is a Grumman aircraft, by the way, and the F-18s and the Nimitz-class carrier were built by Northrop Grumman. Designed and built. All my alma mater. So all 3 pieces of the history here. What's happening today, And the fact that he himself was shot down off of a what's called torpedo bomber, TBM, Avenger, which is a very heavy 3-man crew. You got a pilot, you got a radio man, and then you got a turret gunner in the back to cover your back. You're behind. That was a craft that was flying, Avenger. And I don't know, about 2,600 of them were built, different models, of course, for the war. And very heavy duty and very strong. One of the and it had a special patented wing that would fold back for storage on a carrier. He was on I forgot the name of the carrier he was on, but that was the Independence class. These were modified flat tops. They were not designed as a carrier. They're taking a destroyers or frigates and covered the top into a flat tops. You didn't have the tower that you have now on the newer class carriers. And again, of course, not nuclear. Back then it was all just diesel.
The 2 carriers that were the biggest ones.
Pardon me?
The 2 carriers that were the biggest ones, I think they might have both gone down in World War II, were the Saratoga and Lexington. They were built on cruiser frames.
Right, cruiser frame, yeah. And they just put a flat top. Because that was a quick way to get there. the early ones that were specifically designed are the guys with a 7 degree off for the takeoff and landing. So you have actually, you take off on one runway and you land on the other. Those were the originally specifically designed for carriers, because by then there was enough experience that we can have these aircraft take off.
I'm going to say that
land. Excuse me, jet ones. We can take off the jet ones and land stably, because it was easy to land on their props. Props are a little bit easier because your speed, your average speed on a landing, especially, much much lower. But once you get the jets in, that's where you have these two runway carriers now that we have.
Yeah, but I'm thinking that you're a hair wrong, and some of the flat tops were carriers. Like the Hornet and the Enterprise were designed as carriers.
Could be. But, I mean, that was the one he was with. Because you can tell, there was no infrastructure. There's no infrastructure. There's no tower, command tower infrastructure. If it wasn't there to begin with, that was a modified. That's how you tell. Chief, just like anything else, the devil is in the details.
Why don't I remember seeing
you should write down with a lipstick on your forehead, so when you get up in the morning, you know what to look for, right?
Then
pass it on to all your Trumpkin friends.
Yeah, I would.
The people the other day were telling me, "Oh, Mueller's got nothing." Really? Look at the filing again of sentencing filing came late Tuesday night after markets closed. On Flynn, if you look at that and that redactment, Senor, I'm telling you, we are in second inning. Well, I'm sorry, we're in the second half. The second quarter right now of this ball game. That filing itself says we have another year of this thing. Plus, he's made money. Look at, he took $45 million back from Manafort, so it has cost the taxpayers nothing. Listen, Mueller is a smart cookie. I just found another. He went to Princeton. He was in my social club back in 66 at college. Now, that gives me a view that I never had of Mueller. This guy, I can read him now, because I know how we were raised there at, I'm not saying I'm that good. I'm saying people might type in that social club. There was a core code of conduct that we were raised for. Okay? And this is one of the best of the cream there. And he's not going to sit still. He's got his own agenda. I'm no longer worried about Whitaker anymore. Whitaker is neutralized. So this thing is going to... And then, where am I leading with all of this? Again, for the sake of the nation. We are walking down a very tiny path that's called constitutional crisis. This thing is going to get nasty. Who was Whitaker next to? Flynn.
Yeah.
Flynn, if you look at all the pictures, all the hangouts... They have all the snippets and all that. He was with Jared. Jared is days away from being indicted.
That'd be interesting.
And that's the son-in-law. Yeah. This is going to get very, very nasty very soon. Of course, Khashoggi thing, too. Look what Gina Haspel said yesterday. Well, not yesterday, on Tuesday. So, just as we say in the Navy, buckle up and get that harnesses on. This is going to be a tough ride.
I think you're probably right, Faraday. I hope not, but
I know you probably are. But I agree with you too. For the sake of the nation, I hope not too. But this is not going to sit still like this.
But we got ourselves in a position.
We have so many unanswered questions.
We got ourselves in a position of all kinds of things coming together at the same time.
Exactly. Bravo. Couldn't have put it better.
But I mean, a lot of them are kind of stupid stuff. Where we had an issue in 2008 of too much debt, and a solution was even more debt.
Yeah.
Now you can't ever put you can't trade on that information. You can't say that on a such and such a day the world's going to wake up and figure out, $23 trillion a little.
But hold on. Look at the pressure now, especially from China.
Right.
Russia can't do it, but China is trying to do. It's trying to debase the dollar. They're asking. Because of all the issues with our foreign policy and being a nationalist and being out of the group, and especially what happened with Europe because of the Iran sanctions, they want to get away from trading in dollar. Now, try to pay this debt in non-dollar basis. That is, that you have to pay it, but you can't control the printing machines anymore.
That would be
That's the beginning of the end. That's it.
That would be the beginning of the end.
Yeah, that's the beginning of the end. That's a nuclear option. Yeah, we're done. Yeah.
So, Fry, what exactly?
Here's the number. 1% move right now. Do the math. 1% move in interest rates is about 210. Remember, we have 21 trillion. Yep. 210 billion a year. That's about 20 billion a month. Just an interest increase. That becomes a spiral because it's a debt on debt now.
Oh, I don't disagree.
Yeah. And this is going to be one of the biggest, shortcomings this year.
Right. What are
is
they?
The deficit? My question is this. Who is going to come to the window and write the check to finance this? These rates are too low.
Well, they're going to go up.
Yes, of course. So they will adjust. And remember, the smartest guys in the room are always bond traders. It's just the nature of the beast. Some point in here, they're going to demand more when the fog of war clears.
Your
job and my job is to delineate that, to talk about that fog of war as we see coming in over the horizon.
I think you know some of this. What exactly are they charging these guys with?
I don't know. They're all redacted. Look at that heavy redaction.
The fact that
it was so heavily redacted, and they were saying he should have a free time or, you know, very short or no, look who he was. He was head of DIA. He was with McChrystal in Afghanistan and Iraq. He's the one who found and hunted down, the two of them actually, hunted down Saddam, okay? The work he did was crucial in how they got to,
Bin Laden? Bin Laden?
Bin Laden, yeah. Yeah, because they at least they knew it was not in Afghanistan. They had eliminated, he's not there, we gotta look somewhere else. And this is one of the smartest and brightest intel officers we had. All of a sudden, he gets into a mess with Obama about his promotion and handling DIA, and they thought he was unhinged, so they let him go. That was the beginning of his fall from grace. And then you see these other events, like a lock corrupt and that stuff, that's unbecoming of a general officer. So he did a few things that were wrong, not fighting for being a representative of Turkey government, or going and sit down next to Putin. You're a three-star general, head of DIA. What are you doing at the dinner with Putin? Are you kidding me? Even though you're retired, you have no right going there.
Well, not only that, you're not supposed to get money from those guys if you're getting a pension, right?
You get a decent pension, but there's plenty of places.
No, what I'm saying is
you're not supposed to get money right here. Why are you getting it from the Russians?
You're not supposed to.
Why are you compromising your character?
I think
so. Now, they got his son. They got his son. So, to clear the name, to clean up his back, and leave this earth one day in much better condition than he is now, he says, hey, 19 sittings. I'll sit down with you 19 times. This is head of DIA. General Teague, one of the former heads of DIA, was a friend of my dad. My dad always, when we were in Washington, my dad always say, forget CIA guys. These guys are incredible, the DIA guys. This guy was head of DIA. So I call him a canary, just like Cohen. So Mara has got a couple of canaries there. They're singing.
Oh, sorry, what I'm asking you is what are they accused as Huawei of doing?
I'm sorry, accusing who?
The
Mueller?
This Chinese company.
Jared, or are you talking about...
I'm trying to shift gears.
You're talking about Flynn.
No, I'm trying to shift gears into this lady they arrested yesterday from this Huawei or the Chinese lady that caused the market to go down.
Oh,
yesterday.
That one, the CFO. I came in last night. I guess she was in Vancouver. I don't know much. I don't know much. I'm not good at talking things I don't know. I gotta study it. I saw a cursory news at dinner last night because a couple of the hedge guys called and frantic, like, what the hell happened here? I said, I have no idea, they said they got somebody from a communist party. I said, what? What are you guys talking about? So, and then more news came, and then this thing showed up on the cover, on the front center of Wall Street Journal. But I don't know enough, sir.
Well, they were accusing them of routing U.S. parts of it, at least, to Iran.
Oh, to Iran, Messi. Oh, yeah, yeah. There was a little talk about that's ongoing. That's nothing new. Apparently, they must have had an open warrant. Maybe a sealed warrant, but there was an open warrant on this guy, on this gal. On the company itself, because of sanctions. We don't listen. There is plenty of them. The Chinese are not the only one breaking the deals. You think Europeans aren't? The problem is we're not in a trade war with Europe, but we are with Chinese. This could be a cascading problem.
I would say, by the way, Farid, just so you know, Yes. You were wrong all earlier. The first aircraft carrier built as such was the Ranger, followed by the Yorktown class, which was the Hornet, the Enterprise, and the Wasp.
No, take a look. I know, but here's the thing. Take a look at what he, I was. We're talking about George W.
Yeah,
he was in Pomfret or something. It was an independent class. Take a look at what he was,
right, so
was flying from. Take a look at the picture. It's got no command structure on the side with the antennas on top. Why? Because they had to level all that area and put the landing area.
Right.
Take off and landing on it. It was a straight box. It was just a straight rectangle. Those are modifications. Those are not designed to be an aircraft carrier.
Right.
Look at it. That's what I'm talking
about. All right,
Fari. It's independent class.
Fari, thank you very much, buddy. We'll talk to you next week. If there is still a market, we'll talk next week. Be right back. Stacks and Jacks.
Hello, this is Tom Howell, the Chief. Markets close to all-time highs, interest rates close to all-time lows. Investors are nervous, no return on cash balances, may have some invested a little too much for comfort, some not invested at all, earning very little. The market itself seems nervous. Experts say you should protect yourself. Experts say you should never sell. Experts say to get out right now, yet they are all experts. Then again, they do not know you or your situation. There are also some strange things going on at brokerage and investment advisor firms. Some solid clients and even some diligent brokers and investment advisors are being tossed out. Not big enough, don't charge enough, whatever the reason. This may leave you in a place where there literally is no one knowledgeable left to talk to if needed. PTI Securities and Futures is still here. Either here at our Chicago home office or in Arizona with Jan Neal, we still believe in servicing clients and providing a home for the right brokers or investment advisors the old-fashioned way. We are competitive, but we're also available to help. The last few years have seen a straight-up market without the need of a lot of investment help. What about this year or next year? If things change in the markets, do you really think you are ready? We also have a long history of designing and managing portfolios for people just like you. Might be good for you to check us out at PTISecurities.com. That's PTISecurities.com.
Hi, I'm Audrey Johnson, an owner of Home Source Realty and a frequent contributor to Stocks and Jocks. If you're nervous about the stock market and considering diversification, or are looking for a rate of return way better than your banks, consider adding rental properties to your portfolio. Whether it's a condo, single family, or multi-unit building, I can help you select a property that meets your financial needs. Call or text me at 708-349-3456. That's 708-349-3456, or visit my website at myhomesourcerealty.com. That's myhomesourcerealty.com.
Hello, this is Tom Howell, the Chief. Confused about investing these days? I suspect you are not alone. Investing was never easy, although at times it may have seemed so. I think one reason behind the current concern, although maybe not explained as such, is how the fluctuation in the American dollar and the associated politics is affecting your investments and your wealth. It may not be enough to make some money in your investments. You may need now to make enough to exceed the amount that your leadership is depreciating the value of the dollars you've worked your whole life to accumulate. That same leadership has seen fit to maneuver risk-free interest rates to near zero. Providing positive risk-averse returns in a zero-interest and declining real wealth environment is by far the toughest assignment I've ever had in my years as a money manager. I'm sure that a lot of you have heard that one way to possibly deal with this problem is to invest in so-called hard currencies like silver and gold, the idea being that they will retain their relative value in the face of devaluation of paper currencies like the dollar. To be honest, I have never been a gold bug. I've always had faith that having enough dollars and a good investment strategy was good enough. Now I'm not so sure. But I do know that if I did invest in gold or silver, I'd want to do it in the same manner as we do with PTI for investments in the market, with defined risk. If you feel the need to invest in gold or silver, we can do it using the same strategies that we use for our protected index program. No matter what you invest in, we feel that you need to know and control your risk. Find us at PTISecurities.com. That's PTISecurities.com.
This self-directed trading is a lonely job. Online trading is not as easy as point and click.
No, it's not. Everyone, even professionals, need to share ideas and think out loud every now and then.
That's what I like about PTI Pro Direct. Their staff of former option floor traders really helps me choose the right strategy for trading option volatility and plan the time decay for my covered writing program.
Yep, nothing can replace years of trading experience to stop you from making that dumb trade and for saving a few bucks. We've all been there and done that.
Yeah, I have access to all that great trading advice and experience for just a penny a share for stocks, $1 for equity options, and $1 minimum a trade.
Our clients at PTI Pro Direct can call when they need a little help on a trade or just to talk about the market in general. We trade every day. We love this stuff.
That's what I like most about PTI Pro Direct. Cheap prices along with great advice from real floor traders. It's the best of both worlds.
Tell your friends. That's PTIProDirect.com. PTIProDirect.com.
Stocks, jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
You are out of control.
Right here. Right now.
Hello, welcome back to Stacks and Jacks. I'm Tom Howley, Mr. Mel Weber, Mr. David Aleman in a second. S&P futures down 36, Dow down 377, NASDAQ down 117. Now, yesterday morning, the short session, even though we were closed for the day for the President Bush, H.W. Bush's funeral, pretty interesting to see. I've always liked him. Whether I don't know if he cares whether I liked him or not, but I did.
I don't think he cares about anything now.
No. We don't know. We hope he does. But anyway, that's that part. But the market was up 15 as the Chinese had come out and said they actually did talk about something substantive in Argentina, and they were going to start buying some agricultural products like fairly quickly. So kind of added to Trump's version that they actually did do something down there and instead of nothing. So we started out to the upside yesterday, and then we arrested. We caused the Canadians to detain the CFO, Manny, of Huawei. How do you pronounce that? H-U-A-W-E-I?
You're close, yeah. I don't know exactly, but I would say you're close.
And, of course, everybody decided this is going to throw another wrinkle into the China situation, and we headed right back south. So I saw the Dow down like 4:30 this morning, which would, on top of the 800 or 799 on Tuesday, is a pretty hellacious amount, but that's, you know, we're down a bunch. Over in Europe, we've got the DAX down 277, 2.5%. FTSE down 151, 2.2. Back around, down 113, 2.3. So a little over 2%, almost in uniform across the board. Nikkei down 417, that's 1.9%. Shanghai down 44, 1.7. Hang Seng, however, down 663, that's 2.5. As they have some questions about whether the Chinese are going to let them maintain their independent status in the market, which I think that would boil some stuff. We've got oil down $1.38, Brent down $1.36, natural gas $4.40, RBOB $1.40, and we've got gold down up $1.30, silver down 12 cents. Not much going on there. Mitty, what do you got for us? Traffic, weather, sports.
36 minutes past the hour. Good morning once again to everyone out there. We do have a crash now on I-94 on the south side, inbound side, just before 111th Street, blocking the left lane. That's causing some delays on I-94, so keep that in mind if you're coming in from the south side. Dan Ryan, further inbound looks okay. Same with the Bishop Ford and I-57 further inbound. No issues to report. Stevenson traffic building, that earlier stalled semi at Lamont Road is all clear, so that's good news. But congestion building on the Stevenson and the Eisenhower. Same with the Kennedy and Edens, but no accidents to report. In the suburbs, relatively quiet. North Shore, looks like we have a crash route 176 at St. Mary's Road. And then further south, Golf Road at D Road, there's an accident. But out west, we're looking okay for the most part. Looks like just one issue to report. That's Ontarioville Road at County Farm Road in the western burbs out near Hanover Park. In that area, we have a crash. But everything else looking okay out there. Weather today, lots of clouds before we get some sunshine this afternoon. We'll be cold, partly cloudy skies, a high of 32, hover right around freezing all day. And in fact, that's where we're at right now, overcast in 32. So we'll stay right here for our high. For our Phoenix listeners, lots of rain in the forecast today, a high of 62. Right now it's cloudy and 55. In sports, Blackhawks continue to struggle. They lost on the road in Anaheim last night, 4-2. Coyotes were off. Bulls and Suns were off as well. College hoops, Illinois lost at the UC to Ohio State, 77-67. Loyola lost at home to Ball State, 75-69. Chief.
Why don't they, are they mathematically eliminated?
I don't think they're mathematically eliminated yet, but
how soon? Christmas?
It may be the earliest in 15 years.
I saw the David. How are you?
I'm doing fine.
I saw the power ratings in basketball. The Bulls are like fifth from the bottom. There's like four teams worse.
Yeah, the Bulls are not super talented to begin with, but two of their four core guys have been out for the whole season, so they've had no chance. Now they just got Markkanen back, and then Dunn will be back soon. And then at least at that point, they'll be sort of at full strength health-wise. Valentine's out for the year, but he's just kind of a bench player anyway. They'll at least be more entertaining to watch. But, yeah, they've...
So the question is, can you imagine four teams worse?
Right. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Yeah. And then the fact that Hoiberg got blamed for it is funny to me. But you know, I don't know that he's a good coach. I'm just saying, like, he talk about the cupboard being empty.
By the way, Urban Meyer is, well, retiring again. His, what's his percentage, 851 or something?
He's one of the best coaches of all time.
There's only been two coaches that have coached over 10 years that have a higher winning percentage. Can you name them?
I would guess, is Saban one of them? Okay, he will be when it's all said and done.
851?
Bear Bryant, maybe?
I don't know, because Saban, he started out at Michigan State, and so I know his winning percentage wasn't as high there, but since he's been at LSU and then now Alabama, he's like a 900-plus, and so who knows? He may catch that from behind. Bear Bryant would be another logical guess. Okay. I don't know. How about, yeah, I don't know.
Got to go back a ways. Both from the same school.
I have no idea.
No Dragne.
Ding, ding, ding.
Okay, is Parseghian the other one?
No, Frank Leahy.
Okay.
Frank Leahy had went 2 years without losing or something. Two
it
or
doesn't
three,
count when you go back that far. They're playing like the Sisters of the Poor back then.
They play teams that didn't even have. Yeah. Don't even have teams anymore.
Give me the real list. I mean, starting in like the 60s.
Okay.
I wonder who the best are.
You're one of those guys that goes to an event tonight. It's the greatest fight ever in the history of the world. You're one of those guys?
No. Well, boxing, actually, its prime probably was back then.
They played very serious. They didn't play very many games. The games they played were pretty serious. Played Michigan State. You always played Army. Army was the best team for years. Right? I mean, Army and Southern Cal. They didn't shirk. They were real teams.
I don't know. I'll take your word for it.
Well, I mean, some of the stuff was the best team that they ever recruited was the 46 team. The team never lost 3 years. Well, but the 3 years they played, because you couldn't play as a freshman back then. That's what that was the end. Leon Hart and a few other guys were all on that team. But, I mean, that was after the war, but the key part was, frankly, he went in the Navy and came back with, like, five guys that had already played. He had two Heisman Trophy winners on the same team. When do you see that?
Never.
Yeah, I mean, you're right. It was a different world, and the people were 24 years old. So it was more like pro. The college teams back then could beat the pros, probably, or could come close.
I'd say you're probably right.
I mean, those guys were in the Army, came back, and some of those guys were 24 years old. So, I mean, in terms of, they weren't schlumps at all. I mean, the guys coming back doing a GI Bill, whatever. A lot of those guys played in the Army and in the Navy and so forth. Anyway, David, we've stalled long enough. What about this market? I got to ask you about it. This is nuts, huh?
This is... In all my decades of being involved, I've never seen anything so silly in my life. And I'm not trying to say I'm smarter than the market or whatever, but they come to some kind of framework for a deal. I'm not saying it was all-encompassing. I'm not saying it's real. I'm not saying the Chinese would comply or whatever. But, something. We'll buy industrial goods and we'll buy soybeans. And don't raise tariffs. I mean, that's something, especially since the market had discounted largely for the worst. Then the 1 year and the 3 year notes invert by 1 basis point.
Yeah, 1 basis point.
The others don't, or 3 and 5 or whatever it is, and the market's down 800 points. Then China says, okay, we are going to go move forward and buy some equipment from Caterpillar, and we're going to buy some soybeans. So in the session where no one's around, the S&P futures are up 16 handles. Then they arrest, a CFO of Huawei, which they've been investigating for years anyways, for, possibly taking property and, political stuff and transferring it to the Chinese. They've been under investigation for years. They happen to find the daughter of the founder, who's also the CFO, arrest her. That's it. That's going to put a big crimp in trade negotiations. Really? To me, if you're playing a chess game and it's a high-stakes game and you take someone else's piece, that empowers you more. That doesn't mean the game's over. That means that you have some more power to negotiate. To me, that's bullish. Of course, the market, dies. Then OPEC meets in Austria, and the negotiations are longer than expected, and the tout is that the cuts may be less than expected, so let's beat up crude for 3% because we're afraid that Trump's going to tweet. I mean, are you kidding me?
Well,
are you kidding me?
On one level, I agree with you 100%. But unfortunately, we're not only on one level, David.
No, I mean, this is the algorithms and the black boxes and whatever. And I'm not trying to sit here and say the market's wrong. Maybe instead of the Dow futures down 360, maybe we're down 600. But I mean, you arrest somebody who the company's been under investigation for 2-3 years, and that makes Home Depot's price, you know, the company's worth 3% less? Really?
Well, but you can look at it one of two ways, okay? But a stock can languish, I'll use the term languish, at $60 for 6 months. Well, all of a sudden, something happens and it's 75. Now, were the people who thought it was worth 60 for 9 months just morons? Or did something externally help drive it to 75? Or was it just a realization that the David and Matt Weber company that everybody thought was going to make $5 a share is actually going to make 7, which would be very healthy, by the way. And that's where you and I would like to see it at 75, because now they're making 7 instead of 5. But is it the Fed pouring money in for 9 years, and at the end of the day, I think you and I have been in agreement that the asset prices have been artificially propped up.
No question.
No, you
and no question. Between the Fed pumping money and the, you know, not zero interest rates, but pretty close to it, and taking debt. I mean, you know, Apple takes debt when they have $240 billion, you know, in cash, taking debt because it's so cheap, and financing buybacks and floating, you know, 100-year bonds. I mean, yeah, that financial engineering is all out of whack.
Well,
and for 2-3 years, we've been talking about debt-to-equity ratios that, you know, are beyond.
Well, and I've said on a bazillion occasions, if you ask me how much, I have no idea. I don't know if it's 2%, 3%. If we can hang here for another year or two and all of a sudden the economy picks up and earnings pick up, it might be nothing. We could grow into these prices. And all of a sudden, at the end of the day, David, people are looking for that. Where's that cash on the desk that the Fed used to leave here? There isn't any. The market is, I'm not saying that they're being bearish, but they've essentially set it on its own at a time when all kinds of other crap is walking down the same street. And you really can't.
I agree with you except for one thing, that even with the financial engineering, which I admit is, you know, a pervasive effect when you just reduce shares and take on debt, I get that. But nevertheless, all we have is earnings, and what multiple do you put on earnings? And for 3 quarters, we've grown earnings between 20 and 25%, and at the same time, we've taken the valuations from 17.5 to 14.9. So that readjustment of the multiple that you're referring to, that I agree with, has already been downgraded by more than 10% as the bottom line has come up. So I think at least a portion of what you're talking about has already been discounted by the price. So it's not a question, really, of the market growing into that multiple. It's already done that.
But I would also say that if we had this discussion, where are we, December 6th, if we had this discussion on October 6th, I would say, which I should never say on the radio, I agree with you 100%, but something's weird has happened in the last 60 days. We've run into some kind of a wall.
No, I agree with that.
Has happened. I would not.
A correction was definitely in line.
I'm talking about economy, not market. That the next quarter, I don't think, is going to see that earnings shot. And, you know, there's things that I can't put my finger on, David. There's things wrong with the U.S. today. Your buddy Jamie Dimon was on the other day, and he was asked about a recession. Guess what he said? I don't know if you heard of
that. Yeah, we do great in a recession.
Yeah, we'd love to have a recession. We do great. It's because you're no longer a
The Wells Fargo guy said the same thing.
Yeah, but that's because you're no longer part of what I would consider the business community. You become attached to the ass of government. And somehow you will always survive when other people do poorly. And you'll be able to buy up a place because you have the golden calf, and they don't. But he has to understand. And he actually said, David, he goes, if you're a regular person, it's not good. But if you're a bank, it's great, a big bank.
No, I get it.
But we got
I know.
But we have to break that somehow.
You know, and not to brush that aside, because it's a problem. Because, you know, I like J.P. Morgan as far as the stock. I don't, the bank I could take or leave, but I like the stock. But when the head guy who's, you know, seriously prominent, one of the most prominent financial guys,
if not the most,
exists, get on and voice that, then I have my doubts as to whether I want to own the stock.
Well, but I also have my doubts about the direction we're heading. I mean, we're talking about yet another, who's buying, what's the insurance company in the CVS and Aetna?
Yeah.
I mean, that's going to make every person we know 2 years from now less worth off. We're less better off.
And don't forget, they bought Caremark, too.
Right. So, I mean, we're letting this stuff just rattle
along. I mean,
you
talk about vertical integration. Holy cow.
When's the last time you saw every talking head talk about the greatest Christmas on Earth, which this is not going to be, by the way, and the next 2 days, UPS and Federal Express basically are flushed and are rimming the toilet? I mean, it's the biggest move down in the transportation average in how long? That's not a healthy economy. An 800-point down move before a holiday, I don't know what it is, David. I'm not that smart, but there was a guy on Noon Business Hour yesterday saying, these are normal moves. Normal where? Where's he coming from? When's the last time you saw a holiday in December preceded by an 800-point down move in the Dow with a massive move down in transportation average? When?
No, I agree. And, you know, and then, of course, the talking heads, you know, it's Amazon. They now have trucks. Amazon now has planes, whatever. So that's what the story is. And, you know, FedEx and especially UPS is going to really be hurt. And, I mean, I'm sure there's truth to that. But I agree, there's more to it than that.
International trade.
Because Amazon got flushed. I mean, they had the one game, you know, big time, $60, $70. After the G20 meeting, and then it was all taken away the next day.
How's this for a headline? After all the stuff Trump's doing, international trade deficit surges to highest in a decade as imports rise, exports drop. How we doing?
Yeah. Well, and that's what I, coming to the second story with the OPEC. I mean, if that's true, that, oh, geez, we better not cut production very much because we're going to get a tweet from Trump, especially Saudi. I mean, I really have a hard time believing that.
Well, what do you think the market price of oil is if you take all the politicians and stick them somewhere for a week?
Well, right now, I mean, the real market price, Permian, and from what they're talking, they're saying to get it to where it needs to go or whatever, and really to find buyers, is $15 below the front month future. You're talking, you know, that they're lucky if they can get $35,
$36. Well, they have a massive base of problem in the Permian.
Right.
Much worse than in the Balkan. Are there no railroads there or something or what?
I don't know. I don't know what the story is, but I mean, they had the guy from Marathon Petroleum, and he said, you know, hey, don't look at the board because, you know, the world market may have that on the board, but you can't get it here.
Well, I mean, this is what we tried to talk about on Monday a little bit, David, or actually Tuesday, because you were not on, I could have used you. When you talk about these prices that you see.
I was on Monday.
On Tuesday, I think somehow I got caught into a discussion. We had a tweet in, or somebody called in or whatever, had to do with the soybeans. And I think, you know, you can't trade with the screen. If you're a soybean farmer in Dakota, you can't look up and see soybeans at $9.50 and say, here's my soybeans, come get them, give me $9.50. That's not the way it works. It doesn't work that way with oil either. And if you and I, you know, find the world's biggest oil hole in the middle of God knows where, in the central northern Canada. Guess what, David? We can sit on it and do whatever we want with it, but it's not going anywhere. I mean, for us to get it someplace, it might cost us how many bazillion dollars, and we got to ship it to where? New Orleans to get it.
Store it, insure it, whatever.
And so, I mean, it has a lot to do with the bait. I mean, these farmers in South Dakota that have their soybeans under a tarp with all the mice eating them, they're not coming back from this. If all of a sudden the Chinese decide in the next year they're going to buy some stuff, they've got transit prices, they got storage prices, they've got
How much are they degrading? They're no longer grade one, I don't think, if they've been sitting outside under a tarp. I mean, these are big problems for a lot of people.
And that's why I wonder, you know, of course I look at the charts, but I wonder, you know, is that, let's just say for sake of argument, for the next 3 months, that China says, you know, we're going to be forthright and we're going to buy, you know, here's an order, deliver it to us as soon as you can, but over the next 3 months or whatever the story is. If we don't really have it, you know, or the quality's really poor, if the quality's poor and they have to sell way under the board because of basis and because it doesn't meet, you know, specs, does the price go down? Or the fact that they don't have it, you know, they have to search out what you know, good quality stuff is available, the price goes up. In my mind, I can't figure out if it's bullish or bearish.
We've had people at PTI that have done some cash grain deals. Well, they're associated with PTI. We never did it as a firm.
I used to have a ton of clients who did it.
But there was a year that if you wanted a certain high grade of corn, even though the price of corn wasn't all that high, the December future wasn't. Remember 1 year where the July went ahead of the December? Was this like 5 years ago, David? 4 years ago? You couldn't find five containers of grade whatever, you know, high grade corn that they wanted. So wherever it was, Vietnam or Thailand or someplace, what they were going to use it for, but you couldn't find it. I mean, it wasn't there. So it's not as simple as it appears. Nothing is.
Right.
But it just right. It seems
yeah,
to be...
basis differentials and basis movements can be huge.
Well, we talked for a long period of time, and we had Dan was on the one day, my brother Dan Howe, president of PTI, talking about how when your Amazons and the Fangs are involved in these ETFs, that the more they go up, the more then they become a higher percentage of the ETF, and you really have to keep buying more and more and more of the stuff, even though nobody's really buying Amazon. You put your money in the QQQ, you're going to get Amazon, even though you don't like it or not. 45% of it was what, the Fangs?
Right.
So as we start to go down, they're basically going to puke more than the other guys for the same reason, right, David?
Right.
So I mean, I'm going to say there's at least five or six little arrows coming in the middle here with the market. Fed not helping, interest rates. Well, I mean, I think even at a 2 or 3% number that you can get risk free. I mean, we got, what do we get for the people 2 weeks ago, David, in the auction? 2.5 for 6 months, 2.46. Even that's way better than the 0.5. I mean,
you're starting to see, just in the local, you know, neighborhood newspapers, you're starting to see these 13-month CDs at, you know, 2.2 and whatever. And, you know, and they'll even compound it if you roll it over. And, I mean, you know, I mean, it's not great, but it's better than what I've seen for years and years and years.
Well, if you open up an account here, we'll be happy to go to the auction for you. And you'll do better than that, right? Plus,
I have an account.
Yeah, what I'm saying, we will go right to the auction. And we'll do that for people. And I, just as a plug, David, with the market doing this, I'm not going to go out and say, God, buy puts today, because they got to be pretty damn high. But you have to have yourself set up somewhere, someplace, to where you can at least do that if you want to. I mean, you can open up an account here. You don't even have to fund it. Just get it open, either here or some other place where somebody, if you do walk in and say, all right, maybe the market does bounce back 30% of what it was down, you say, okay, now I want to get myself in a position where I don't have all that risk on the table, whatever it is, where you can discuss something with somebody.
And vice versa.
Yeah.
I mean, somebody wants to probe the long side because they think, you know, some of this stuff, you know, is silly. You know, put on a call spread or a credit, you know, put spread, you know, out of the money so that you don't get hurt or whatever with a limited amount of risk.
Or repair strategy.
Right.
So either way,
either hedging or protecting or speculating on the short side or probing the long side with less.
But you have to be.
I don't know that many people offer that like we do.
Well, but it's like, unless you're going to go to an emergency room, which is not usually a good thing, you really want to have a doctor before you get sick.
Right.
So.
No, I agree.
So, I mean, I don't usually do shameless plugs on the air. Maybe I should do more. But the idea is, we're happy to open up your account, and if you decide you don't want to do anything, don't do anything. But at least you can. Otherwise, it's a 2-week process, right? I mean, at least.
Anyway, are we gonna bounce it all here today, David, or no?
I think that, you know, the algos and black boxes will take over early and probably knock it down one more time to the overnight lows or even through that. And then I think the market will really, really be washed out. I think if you can get the S&P's 50, 55 handles lower, I think it's worth a shot with some options, with some limited risk, to take a shot on the
right now. I'm down 36, down on 372. Thanks, David. Thanks, Matty. Back tomorrow, Stocks and Jacks.
What did we learn, Palmer?
I don't know, sir.
I don't know either. I guess we learned not to do it again.
Stocks and Jocks is brought to you by PTI Securities and Futures. Go to PTISecurities.com. PTI Pro Direct. Trade for as low as a penny per share and a dollar per option contract. Learn more at PTIProDirect.com. Nadex, offering an intuitive way to trade the financial markets. Visit Nadex.com. HomeSource Realty. Call Audrey Johnson at 708-349-3456. Hamzy Analytics. Listen to Fari Hamzy every other Thursday and visit HamzyAnalytics.com. ChiroMed. Back or neck pain? Schedule a complimentary consultation by calling 708-403-2727. DAX Research. Tune in for David Andelman's technical analysis on Mondays and Thursdays and call 1-800-821-4968.